Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. As young professionals ourselves, we're constantly striving to connect and uplift young people in the Toledo community. Our podcast is featuring young entrepreneurs and professionals in the area from all different industries and walks of life who are making an impact in Toledo.
We're excited to have our guests discuss their background, their education and training, and give any advice for other young professionals like us. We're also going to take a look at varying pop culture trends among Gen Zers like ourselves and discuss or debunk them, maybe even a little Roman Empire. You know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
I am craving another tattoo.
Oh, of course you are.
Once you get one, you can't stop.
Yeah, that's true. I can't speak from personal experience since I don't have any yet, but I'm itching for one.
Right.
You know I'm trying to get my David Bowie tattoo.
I know, and I want matching ones.
Ooh, so maybe we should learn a little bit more about tattoos in the industry.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And luckily, Miss Libby June is here today.
We are so excited to have Libby June in the studio with us today. Yay. Hi, Libby.
Hello.
My name, twin.
I was about to say, listeners, please don't get confused. We've got two Libbys today.
Yes.
We're going to try real hard to make it clear.
Double the trouble. Yes. It'll only be one of us.
Well, Libby, thank you so much for joining us. And we're so excited to talk all about your journey through the tattoo industry, through your love of art, everything.
Yeah.
I'm
so
honored.
Yes. Let's get into it. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, what's the stitch?
Yeah. So I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. Mostly went to Sylvania schools.
Shout out Northview.
Shout out Northview. Shout out Maplewood. Shout out Arbor Hills.
Okay, eight.
Right? Eight. And I grew up primarily with a single dad, and all my life he was an artist through and through. He's been a concept artist for the same company for 20 years.
Wow.
And so I've watched him on the big, you know, big sketchbooks or on his digital Wacom tablet, just do his own digital illustrations. And so it's a huge, huge inspiration for me. I love art. It's had a huge influence on my life. Yeah, I basically grew up around that and been drawing since I was very little. Always had a sketchbook in class, always doodling on myself.
Yeah, I love that.
And yeah, I've been just, it's been incredible. I love it.
I love that. That's amazing. And we also want to know, you know, what you ended up pursuing, because obviously you have such a love of art. But for those who don't know, Libby also was an incredible performer and was always involved with the theater shows at Northview. And that's how we met. So talk a little bit about, you know, your journey into college and what your next step was after that.
So COVID had a big impact on that. I initially was going to attend Cleveland State University. I'm from Toledo, and I researched my colleges. Mm-hmm. I found Cleveland State because they have a great music therapy program. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I think this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I've been performing my whole life. I love to sing. I think this is what I want to do. And then, like, full transparency, I was having, like, horrible anxiety, like, terrible panic attacks. Just, like, anxiety started taking over my life. My mental health was terrible. And I realized, like, public performance was not something I was going to be able to do if anxiety was going to be a part of my life. Mm-hmm. They just weren't working together.
For sure.
And I kind of had an epiphany of, I don't know if I can do this. And so my dad said, well, let's sit down. Let's talk. What are your strengths? What's your plan B?
Mm-hmm.
And meantime, as nerdy as this is, I love cosplay. I love Renaissance festivals. I love Victorian Tudor Elizabethan style clothing.
Oh.
And I love to sew. I've done that for years.
And you are darn good at it,
girl.
Too.
It's so hard. It's so hard. Thank you. So I decided to pursue. They have an incredible theater arts program in Cleveland. Their Playhouse Square is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pursued theater arts. Design technology was my track with a concentration in sewing. So all of those types of clothing and those eras, those are what I focused on. So I did like Victorian style dresses for my finals and my special projects.
Oh, cool.
So fun. Then the pandemic happened when I graduated, and my internship I had lined up was like, we can't do public performances. No one was filming for television programs. There was no theater.
Right.
And so I came home, and then that's when I started tattooing. Salons started opening up, and I pursued an apprenticeship.
Yeah, so talk a little bit more about that. Like, what sparked that journey into tattooing? Obviously, the pandemic was a big factor. But,
yes,
you know.
Huge factor.
Yeah, that's a common theme around here.
Oh, my gosh, right? I can only imagine, especially with artists. It's like do or die. Mm-hmm. So with tattooing, it was always a passion for me. But in my head, I'm like, oh, you just have to know a guy to know a guy to be a tattoo artist. Yeah. I had no idea there was mentorships, apprenticeships, no idea. And so I just thought, well, that's down the toilet. There's no chance I could ever do that. And once I graduated, I had started getting tattooed. And I was speaking to my someone who's now a very good friend of mine. Her name's Emma. And I was telling her about how I'm really interested in tattooing. And I wish I could have pursued it when I was younger. She's mm-hmm. like, girl, what are you talking about? There's apprenticeships. I said, what do you mean? She's like, you can train, learn here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show me your portfolio. Let's get started. And I showed her my portfolio right then and there because I had it from school. And the lead artist there was like, do you want to start tomorrow?
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, I am unemployed right now. COVID-19 is like just passed. Right. I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. And you just handed me this golden goose. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So I like started right then and there. And I already had an art background. So it was like perfect. And wow. I just... Once I started, I'm like, why didn't I do this sooner? I wish I would have known. I would have, not that I wouldn't gone to college, but it would have been something I pursued. It's incredible.
For sure. Yeah. And I've heard like kind of difficult things about getting into tattooing and like, especially with apprenticeships. So that's really awesome that it just came your way like that.
Yes. I'm super blessed. I should probably preface by saying that I'm incredibly blessed and it's not as easy as I just made it sound. It's very difficult. But I'm so blessed. Like it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So where was the apprenticeship with?
So I started training. It was at 419 Inc. It's off of C-Corps. It's kind of by C-Corps and Alexis. Mm-hmm. I used to live right across the street from there and that's how it became my like studio of choice.
Yeah.
I trained there for about 9 months and then I transitioned into Brick House off mm-hmm. of Airport Highway. Mm-hmm. Owner Jordan Tinney, she's awesome. Also a Northview alum, which is pretty cool.
The Northview alums are crawling everywhere.
They're crawling. They're devouring. So I started there. The appeal of a women-owned business was a huge, huge appeal to me. And I'm I have to make my way there. And she taught me a lot as well. So I accredit a lot of my training to Brick House, especially.
Sure.
It was a great home to me for many years.
And we want to come back to that because we do have a couple of questions about your experience
totally.
There. But I want to know about the first piece that you ever did and what that kind of felt like for you to, you know, accomplish your first official tattoo.
I remember that very clearly. Yeah, I had, before you can start tattooing, just general walk-ins, you usually pick friends or family and you do small free things. Mm-hmm. And my very best friend, she's like a sister to me. I've known her since I was very little. I did one little guy under like a rain cloud as my first tattoo, maybe the size of a postage stamp, no bigger.
Aww.
And it was her, it was my mentor, three other artists, all just hovering over for me, waiting for me to pull that first line.
Oh my gosh.
And I was
no pressure.
It was horrible. It was horrible. And I told, like, my anxiety was terrible. So I was like hyperventilating. I was second guessing myself. I was so I wasn't excited, but mostly nervous.
Yeah.
And yeah, she talked me down. She's like, you're going to be fine. Like, you could draw a piece of poop on my arm and I would still love it because you're my best friend.
Aww,
like, there's no
sweet.
Way you can mess this up. So she was great. And yeah, I did it. And I was like, okay. Can I do that for the rest of my life? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, and look at you now. Like, it's clearly working.
Now it's, like, therapeutic for me. It's so relaxing. It's like a doodle bear. Everyone's a doodle bear.
Aww.
It's the best.
I love that. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
So do you have a specific, like, style that you gravitate towards?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I love illustrative. The best way I could describe it is if you were to open up like a scientific illustration book, maybe from like a college textbook, and you were to see like the anatomy, botanical illustration, mm-hmm. things of that nature. I love like scientifically accurate illustrative designs. A lot of people attribute it to cottagecore.
Mm-hmm.
That buzzword's really common, and I would agree with that. I think it's very whimsical. Fine line, not too masculine, very soft.
Yeah.
But then scientifically accurate. So I love to do like botanically accurate elements.
I love that. That's so cool. Yeah.
And so we already started talking about Brick House, you know, but we want to kind of come back to that.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us more about that, because the idea of a woman-owned, like, tattoo shop, that's awesome.
It's incredible. And like I was saying earlier, it was a home away from home for me. There were days where, like, I didn't want to leave because the girls there are just so incredible. I worked alongside the owner, a few other ladies. Some came and went, but all, like, there was just genuinely always nice, good atmosphere. It was incredible. And then my sister worked there with me as well, and so I always had her. But that was the appeal, was the women-owned business. And the fact that Jordan, the owner, she just, like, literally built that brick by brick. Like, she took it from the ground up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As someone who was, at the time, my age or younger, is insane to me. And then just that feeling of you walk in and there's no intimidation, there's no stress, there's no feeling like you have to be a certain way or act a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's very comforting. I just found peace there. It was really peaceful.
I love that.
Well, and we were having a conversation before this, too, about how a stigma within the tattoo industry is that it's a male-dominated industry. And, you know, we want to talk about your feelings on that and how women navigate that. Obviously, you were very blessed to work at a woman-owned and operated business. So kind of tell us a little bit about your feelings about that being a male-dominated industry and how women can navigate that situation.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's such a loaded question too, because it's so nuanced, like it's so hard to tackle. But I think it's about making people feel comfortable. And I use that word a lot, but that was something I noticed with a handful of my tattoos, is it can feel daunting. And often there's kind of a masculine tone over the entirety of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed a lot even over the past like 5 years.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I think, a lot of women maybe in our generation or a little bit older felt like they weren't welcome in a space like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying everybody encourages that stigma. A lot of male artists are absolutely incredible and sweet and understanding. But like I've witnessed it myself. I've seen a lot of male artists who are homophobic, misogynistic,
right.
Just very hostile, make you feel bad about wanting a quote-unquote feminine, dainty tattoo.
Right.
And I love just being like, you know what? No, we're not doing that. And
right.
We as women are going to take this industry and we're going to evolve it to be something inclusive, something comfortable,
yeah.
something that people want to do. Like, this is art, you know? And I think it's gotten way better,
yeah.
way better than it used to be,
yeah.
for sure. Like, a lot of places now, every tattoo studio now is going to have at least one female artist. I don't think that was the case even 5 minutes ago.
Definitely.
Or 5 years
sure.
ago.
So you worked at Brick House for how long?
I was there for 2.5 years.
2.5 years.
Yep.
And now what I really am excited to talk about is that you've opened your own business.
That's
Think
right.
about that. Like, let that sink in, everybody.
This awesome.
Journey, she's been on such a journey, and now she's here with her own business. So tell us about how you got the idea for the business, the timeline, and how it came to fruition.
Sure. It's so convoluted. It's not, but it is. My sister and I have worked together for quite a while now. We worked together pretty much all the time I was at Brick House, and she started about a month after I did.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had this small pipe dream of one day having like a sister studio. We're incredibly like-minded people in the way that we're you know, retentive about detail and the way that we want to run a business. And I think we came to a realization after time had passed, again, after the pandemic, and I think financially we'd recovered a little bit. We realized maybe we're in a good place financially and mentally to try this, because we feel like we have enough experience under our belt to maybe give it a chance.
Yeah.
And so we did some searching. I found a property. And for 7 months, we worked with the building department of Lucas County and the health department back and forth, doing plumbing, HVAC, electric, which I know
right.
nothing about.
Right.
I'm just a girl. I don't know anything.
No, literally at the end
Me
of the
too.
Day.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. So that was so difficult. And my grandpa was a big help. 7 months of back and forth, filing paperwork, doing the things we needed to do
mm-hmm.
to get it done. And then early February of this year is when we were finally able to open our doors and transition our clientele from one place to another.
Yeah.
And
right.
Yeah, it was incredibly difficult, challenging, and nerve-wracking. But it's kind of like, once the ball was rolling, it was fine. It was getting it rolling. That was hard.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
And tell us a little more detail about kind of like where you're located, what kind of clients you're taking, you know, what are people going to expect when they're coming to Snailberry?
So we're off of Heather Downs and Byrne. We're right by the Cedar Creek Church that's over there.
Mm-hmm.
we're a private studio, and it's just me and my sister. Mm-hmm. And so technically women own, but I think it's almost more circumstantial than anything else.
And no, you should own that.
You know what?
Yeah. It is women owned.
It is.
You wait.
You know what? Period.
Tell me, too, how you guys came up with the idea for Snailberry Studios as the name.
It's so bizarre. We were swimming one day, I remember, and we're like, okay, if we're getting this rolling, let's just, like, let's spitball, you and me. Let's spitball right now. And so we're like, Slugstone, Frog Apple. Like, we're trying to think of a combination of her name and my name, things that resonate with each of us.
Yeah.
And at one point, my sister just said Snailberry, and I don't know what it was, but it just kind of clicked with us. I'm the snail. She's the berry. She's like the bubbly, cutesy, always dressed to the nines. And then I'm like the Adam Sandler sister. So it's like,
I love that.
No, I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah,
I feel like that evokes such like fun imagery in your mind when you think of it. So
we don't take ourselves seriously at all. To a degree, we're professional, but like we're like, come on, we're just silly little sisters with our little shop doing these little designs.
That's so cute.
I think we wanted something that felt casual, felt fun and relaxed. When you hear it, you're like, oh, I could go with Snailberry Studios. That's
and
cute.
We talk a lot, too, with our guests about how I think our generation is doing a really good job of bringing the fun back into work, where it's like, you know, combining your professionalism while still knowing how to have fun and be goofy and really, you know, be approachable.
Yeah, put some personality into it.
Yeah, put your personality into it. We love that.
That's such a good point.
So talk to us. So you guys are having this pipe dream, and then talk about what it's been like to have that now as a reality.
Surreal for sure. We have both, my sister and I, talked about that imposter syndrome that comes with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, definitely a few years ago, I would have never believed this was a reality for us.
Mm-hmm.
And now it just feels like imposter syndrome because it's so incredible and it's such a humbling experience, and we're creating these pieces of artwork for these people that most of the time are strangers to us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just rewarding. And I keep thinking back, like, what did I do to deserve something like this? It's just incredible. And now I'm just grateful, and I love my job. I love my job.
Yeah,
I really,
awesome.
Really, really love it.
Getting to wake up and go
Be
to
excited.
Work where you really love it. Like,
yes.
That's so awesome.
That's
yes.
amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're curious, too. We've talked a little bit about your style and, like, the first piece that you ever did. But we want to know if you have a favorite piece that you've ever done or, you know, like, a specific story from your time in the industry that really sticks out to you.
Oh, that's a good question. Favorite piece is so hard to narrow down.
I'm sure.
It's so hard. It's like picking a favorite pet. You don't want to offend the other pets.
Right.
I'm sure.
I really love the more sentimental, personal stories that come with it. I've had times where, you know, I did a floral tattoo on somebody, and it was supposed to represent her children. And one of the flowers, the way I ended up rendering it ended up being, I don't know, it looked a little similar to some of the other flowers, just incidentally. And she said, that's insane because I actually had a miscarriage and that flower, like, I feel represents my angel baby. And I thought that was so interesting.
Oh, my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I just love little incidental things that happen. I love getting to do pet portraits or pet adjacent things that represent. I have a client who has a cat named Milk, and we did a little cat with a witch hat because it's cute.
Yeah.
Because it's cute. And yeah, I love the sentimental. They don't need to have sentiment, but
We were going to talk a little bit about your stance on that. I know some people are like, every single one has to have meaning. And then it's like, or it can just be fun.
Right. Totally. I have SpongeBob on my leg because SpongeBob.
Right.
I've done like...
What other reason do you need?
What other reason do you need other than SpongeBob? My sister has done a tattoo of a realistic chicken wing, like an edible chicken wing, because someone was like, I really like chicken wings.
Yeah.
That's as far as it goes.
Follow your passion, man.
Follow your passion.
I don't know what to say.
So specific.
Real.
Right. So, like, It is now, I think it's 50-50, the amount of people who come in for a sentimental piece and the amount of people who come in for something absolutely ridiculous or silly.
Right.
And it's great because I'm always on my toes. I'm like, will I tattoo a hot dog on a skateboard or will I tattoo a memorial piece for someone's grandma? Who knows? Right.
and that's wild, too. Like, you don't even really think about the emotion that goes into it for you creating the piece of art because yes. It's like sometimes it's so silly goofy and then right. Other times you're just like, oh, man, this is really heavy.
This is real. I'm like, am I a therapist now? Like,
do you have to navigate difficult conversations with people while they're in the chair?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of, for lack of a better word, trauma dumping that happens. And yeah. I don't even think it's intentional. Just kind of something about being in that chair kind of elicits that response out of people. Mm-hmm. It's a vulnerable position to be in. Like, yeah. You're literally trusting somebody to mark your body for life. And right. I know some people will be like, it's not that deep, but it is.
Right.
And I think people feel once they obtain a certain level of comfort, that's when they feel like, I kind of want to talk about things that I think I could talk about with you and no one else because you're going to take it to the grave. You're not going to go to anybody, right. My husband or whatever. And yeah, I've heard some just people's life stories, for better or for worse, that it's rewarding and it's comforting to know that people feel like they can share those things with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a vulnerable position to be in. So I've heard all sorts of things. And funny, crazy.
I think it also speaks to you creating that comfortable space that we were kind of talking about. Like,
totally.
People feel like they can be vulnerable, which is great.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
And we started talking a little earlier about the stigma of the male-dominated industry. But we also want to talk to you about how stigmatized tattoos in general are and how that's kind of been changing.
Yeah. So I think tattoos, especially in a professional space, have always been really stigmatized, and now I think we're starting to see that change. And talk to us about that and your thoughts there.
That is so true. It's so refreshing to see. It's so refreshing. Something interesting I found is, I've talked about this before with some of my friends, but my biggest demographics are educators and healthcare workers.
Yeah,
which I love that.
I think 10 years ago that would be out of the question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I talked to them and I'm like, there's no way. How are you able to have your job with these tattoos? And they're like, we're understaffed. They can't fire me.
No, really.
That's like always the answer across the board, genuinely. I think the newer generation is moving in. A lot of us, majority of us, have this passion for tattoos. Mm-hmm. And I think employers are realizing that if we're going to be nitpicky about that specific element, we're going to lose a majority of our clientele, of our employees. It's just not possible to be able to hire at the rate that you used to be able to without those people having tattoos. It's mm-hmm, just just a fact of the matter. So it's really refreshing to see people also having a bit of authority with their own body and deciding, like, I'm going to get this for myself. And then I'm going to find a way to employ myself and kind of pigeonholes people into hiring them. I think it's great. I feel as though you having tattoos on your body doesn't affect your ability to work.
Yeah.
And it's changing for the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's the root of it, too. Yep. Like, what does an image on your body mean for your mind and your work ethic and things like that? Like, those are the important factors. So definitely, I think it's amazing how that's changing. And it makes me hopeful for when we're in the, you know, president, CEO positions and we're the ones doing the hiring and saying, you know what? I don't care that you have a tattoo. You're smart. Come work for me.
Yes, 100%.
I feel, too. Like, I have some tattoos my arms, and like older adults are always like, how are you gonna get a job? And I'm like, well, if they don't want me because of my tattoos, I don't want to work there.
Yes, right. Like, exactly. That's such a good point.
Yeah, it's like, that's
agree
not,
with that.
Not the culture that I would want to be a part of anyways.
Yeah, so. Not the culture. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of that, we've talked a lot about the culture that you create, right, throughout this podcast. I mean, not only with it being a male-dominated industry, but, you know, talking about the culture you experienced at Brick House. And now that you have your own business, tell us about the kind of culture that you're trying to create with Snailberry.
The culture. I want something, I feel it, I want it to be chic. I want it to feel fresh. I keep coming back to the feeling that I want it to be like a salon, because I think when people enter a salon, they're not really nervous. Mm-hmm. I think they feel excited for change.
Yeah.
But I don't think that sentiment is there with tattoo studios. There's still a lot of fear around it because there's taboos and there's not a lot of understanding. And it's a lot of gatekeeping going on between client and artist, artist to artist. I want that to feel very open-ended. I tell my clients there's no dumb question. You can ask me anything. this is your oyster. Like, you make it what you make this experience what you want it to be.
Yeah.
And I want you to feel at ease here. I want you to feel excited. And
right.
I'm not going to deny that it is an anxiety-inducing experience. I still get sure. nervous when I get tattoos every time.
Yeah.
But by the time you leave, I want you to feel refreshed. That's yeah. what I'm hoping
yeah.
for.
Yeah. I think with salons, like, it's almost like a self-care thing. And so I like that.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
For sure. Yes. And like you were saying, so many people do those meaningful pieces where it is kind of like a form of healing or self-care.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. yeah, that's very true.
Or even just the fun ones. Like, it should. I mean, you go get your hair colored or cut for fun. Like, yes. you should just go get a tattoo for fun if you want.
Yes.
That's your choice.
I'm definitely with that. Yes.
And so, you know, we also started to talk about your own tattoos.
Yeah. If you're comfortable, like, talk to us about what you have and, you know, any meanings that you have or the stuff. I know you said you don't have meaning, which is, I love that too.
Yeah. It's an amalgamation of all sorts of crazy things. I have so many video game references. I'm a gamer at core. I love video games, and I have lots of that on my body. I have got critters, little butterflies and snakes, little cats. I have to look down and reference myself because I'm like, there's enough where I'm kind of forgetting.
Do you know how many you have?
I think in the 20-something, 28, I thought, I counted last time.
Nice.
They're kind of starting to blend into one blob because they're all connecting.
So fair.
Yeah. But I have a combination of things that I thought were beautiful, mm-hmm. That I just wanted on my body because it was beautiful. I have things that are sentimental to me from my childhood. I have my sister and I have a matching monarch because we grew up near, in White House, Ohio. There's a butterfly house that was right down the street from us.
Yeah.
And so we used to go there as children.
That's sweet.
And so we got the monarch butterfly.
I love that.
So it's an amalgamation of less sentimental, more the cool nerdy stuff that I enjoy in artwork.
Yeah. And I love that too, because you don't really think about tattoos being like an accessory. You know, like you've said a couple times, like, I wanted them on my body because they were beautiful. It's almost to me the same as like getting a pair of earrings. You want to wear them because
they're beautiful.
So you want to wear a tattoo as an accessory to make you feel beautiful
yes.
and accentuate your own beauty.
Yes.
I think that's lovely.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And to comment on that, I have many a times, including on myself, I have a part of myself that I may be insecure about. And there's nothing better than slapping a tattoo on something you're insecure about, because you just feel like the baddest, coolest person in the room. Suddenly you feel proud. And yeah, I have that about parts of my body where I wasn't proud of it for a long time. And then I tattooed it and I'm like, I want to show this off. And I feel beautiful. I think it can help.
I love that. That's amazing.
Can you talk to us a little bit about choosing an artist and that kind of process? I know sometimes there's like not great artists out there.
Correct. Yes, that's true. And the internet has helped a ton with that. I think it's kind of filtered a little bit. So it's much easier to find somebody that fits your style. Truthfully, good old Google can really do it. And I ask people a lot of times, how did you find my studio? And they'll say, I Googled, I want a moth. A realistic moth tattoo, and in Toledo, Ohio. Well, this popped up, and well, you popped up. So
right.
I think picking buzzwords and literally Googling it, it's just, like, really that simple. And then I like to go through and just look through different portfolios and be nitpicky. Look at an artist and find an artist where you like the majority of their work. So that way, you know, when no matter what they draw up, you're going to like pretty much anything they show you.
Yeah.
If you're having some doubts, it's probably not the artist for you. So yeah, I use buzzwords on Google, buzzwords on Instagram. Instagram's great for portfolios. That's what a majority of artists use now, is Instagram for portfolios. It helps a ton.
Good tip. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. So our last question for you before we get to our favorite segment, the Roman Empires. Tell us any advice that you might have for other Gen Zers who are, you know, either struggling with anxiety and unsure what they want to do, or if they're trying to open their own business, because darn it, girl, you've done it. You've done it.
That's, man. Okay. First things first, like, face anxiety head on and either go to therapy or look into medication, because you got to put you first.
Yeah.
You got to put you first.
I love that.
Yeah, because it's going to be with you forever. And it is so okay to be anxious about the future and your career options, because it is so hard to get employed right now. And I think that's a sentiment that's been echoed a lot, but it is really, really difficult to get employed. We've been backlogged from COVID. The economy is terrible right now. And so, like, your anxiety is super valid. I think putting yourself out there and take every skill you have and consider it marketable. And I know that sucks, like capitalizing on literally every interest. It sucks so bad, but I feel like it's unfortunately the world we live in now. But don't be afraid. Like, take something that you maybe felt like you would have not looked into much initially and decide to market on it. I never would have thought of myself as a business owner, definitely not. But then the more I got to thinking about like owning a tattoo business, I'm like, well, I love to yap. I love talking to people.
Right.
I love making friends. And I'm super anal about numbers. I like numbers. Maybe this isn't so bad. I have some skills that might work together. So market your skills and be confident in yourself. You're more talented than you think you are.
I really love that.
All right. Well, it's the moment we've been waiting for. All right. Who wants to kick us off? Libby.
Oh, my gosh. I think one of you needs to kick off so I can get an example of this. I need to understand.
Oh, you got it.
Works.
Here we go. Libby.
Okay. My Roman Empire today is Jane the Virgin. Riley and I recently started rewatching it together.
Also, a little tidbit for the listeners, Libby and I live together. Don't know if y'all know that, but
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, we live together. It's super fun, super cute.
That's
sleepover
amazing.
Every night.
Yes. So during our sleepovers, we're watching Jane the Virgin. It's so cute, so fun. But honestly, that show is just really great. And if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's so interesting. For me, at least, it's, like, my best example of, like, how to do suspense well in a show.
Yeah.
They constantly give you information, and then, like, you have to just watch the characters and not know what they're getting into, and it's, like, a nail biter.
Well, and even the representation, like, not only do they have queer couples on the show, they have so many different races and ethnicities on the show, but also it was, like, a way to bring telenovelas to popular American culture, which is so cool.
It's
like
so
they
awesome.
Literally filmed it like a telenovela.
Ooh.
And that's all they talk about in the show is like the Xiomara and Abuela and like all of that stuff. Like they all watch the telenovelas. They're obsessed with it. And so it's so cool that they're in a telenovela in and of itself.
Yeah.
It's so
awesome.
Sick.
It's like super meta in a way. But
it really is very meta.
It's really awesome. And I feel like that culture is represented really well.
Yeah.
It's a great show. So if you haven't seen it, watch it.
I kind of want to watch it. What's it on?
It's on Netflix, but it is leaving soon.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's leaving. So.
Why did I do that? I hate that.
I know, unfortunately. So right. We'll just have to track it down somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere. Oh, that's so cool.
Right. And now, I mean, you can watch like pretty much all the episodes on TikTok because people record those, you know. Anyway, okay, my Roman Empire today, in keeping with the art theme, I'd love to talk about my dad. Because
Yay.
First of all, you guys, I love my dad. He's such a cool dude. But I have to tell you that his art, I think, is like the coolest thing ever. So growing up, like my dad was always the person who, if I had a, you know, art project for school or a big presentation or something, my dad was the one running to Target, getting the poster board, getting all of the markers, getting the diorama materials, and then staying up with me and making all of it together. I mean, my teachers will all still tell you that I had the coolest art projects. And that was single-handedly because of my father. Like, shout out to Tom. So the thing that my dad is doing now, my dad spent 42 years in the game of Major League Baseball, and he came home, retired. He worked with high school kids. He teaches private lessons. But he also has such a passion for art still and has created his own art business called Art of Baseball. And, oh, yeah. No, it's so
this.
Cool.
What?
And so
yeah, it's really awesome.
What he does is he takes old baseballs and he skins them. And then he'll cut the leather and dye the leather into different pieces. And he makes portraits of some of the greatest players in the game. And he'll do, you know, logos for teams or numbers of a jersey with like a little portrait of somebody too. Like he makes all different types of styles based on what people want. And, you know, he commissions pieces and all of that stuff, or he'll just make them for his passion. But the thing that's the coolest about it is a lot of people don't know that there were a group of baseball players called the Negro Leagues. Mm-hmm. And so what my dad does is he makes portraits of some of the biggest players from the Negro Leagues, like Toledo's own Moses Fleetwood Walker or Satchel Paige. And he'll make those portraits and he'll donate proceeds to organizations that benefit our Black community in the area. And he wants to raise awareness for those people and those players who really paved the way for the greats to make their way through, you know?
Yeah.
And I have been so profoundly proud of my father for making this his passion, but then also just the pieces themselves are incredible.
I was gonna say, the pieces are so beautiful.
The detail is insane. Like, the way he puts it together and he makes the back, he hand paints or, you know, will Mod Podge different backgrounds and then put the portrait on top. It's phenomenal. So I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of his art. It's so incredible.
How would one go about commissioning something from him? Just curious. No reason.
We're hitting up Art of Baseball TR. Okay. Well, yeah, he posts on his Instagram a lot, but he also has a website called Art of Baseball TR, and that's where all of his pieces that he's done live, like pictures of them and all that stuff. But yeah, you can keep up with his most recent stuff on Instagram, which cool. I also help run. Would like to shout out myself a little bit. But,
as you should.
But yeah, so I love it.
Man, that's cool.
And now, Libby, your time is up. It's your turn.
I can't top that. That's incredible. That's
no,
amazing.
No, you can. There's no Roman Empire judgment here.
I appreciate that. Okay, my Roman Empire recently has been sustainable fashion.
Ooh.
I have been in such this deep dive recently of finding, like, I can't even, not sponsored. I've just, like, been finding some really interesting, like, apps and websites about sustainable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's thrifting, going to thrift stores, antique stores, or vintage stores. I really like using sites like ThredUp or Depop and, like, finding these really niche searches to find what I'm looking for and then able to buy clothes sustainably.
It's kind of like a treasure hunt.
It's like a treasure hunt. It's the best thing in the world. I love it. And it gives me my own little dopamine, but then I feel better about myself knowing that I'm, like, doing the right thing.
Yeah,
trying not
like
to
contributing
buy.
To the sustainability. I love that.
Contributing to the sustainability. So I've been on a kick for that. And you can find just about anything on sites like that, just any like thrifting fashion site, and get it shipped right to your door. God, that sounds like an ad. Oh my
no,
God.
But as you know too, like Toledo is home to so many incredible vintage stores and thrift stores and things like that, where you can you can take the middleman out of it and just go straight there and go to those too.
That's actually tying it back to the business of literally every single item in our shop is a thrifted item. Like, we would go to Mommy Antique Mall or the Copper Kettle on Glendale and thrift, and sometimes you'd find the seller right then and there in their own booth, and hiya, sweetie, I'll give you 50% off.
The little negotiation is
so
fun.
Great. It's awesome, and so we're big on that. I think it's so cool. It's so cool,
and like the fast fashion industry is eviler than ever at the moment.
So evil,
so evil. Like all the little micro trends on TikTok.
Yes,
and it's like,
especially that's such a good. That could be a whole other Roman Empire.
I know it really could. It could be a whole episode. To be honest,
I picture them in their little thrones in their red room, just like pressing their fingertips together maniacally. Evil mustache.
Yes.
Cat on lap. Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, Libby, thank you so much for joining us. We had such a lovely time talking to you.
This was really, really amazing. I love this. I love the format. I love it's so professional, but I feel comfortable. This is awesome.
Aww,
I really love this.
Thank you.
Thanks, girl.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Yay.
We want to thank Libby June, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the wonderful Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.